In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on this Good Friday, we reflect on God's great love for us, His total sacrifice of Himself in Jesus Christ on the cross. At times we're ignorant of God's great love for us, sometimes we're ignorant of His presence. Now, the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, in his book Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Week, there's a little reflection here. I'm just going to share briefly just a couple points. He said, when our Lord is on the cross, he says there's three group of mockers. Those who are mocking and don't believe that he is the Son of God. He said the first group are the passerbys. They come by and they express contempt for his powerless state. Those are people who don't recognize God, saying, well, how could there be God with all the suffering in the world? It could be people that don't recognize the dignity of life from the moment of conception, when child's in utero. It could be a person, the passerby, who mock. People are older, you know, we should have euthanasia. But people are just passerby, who they mock suffering. They could never see God in that at all. They're blinded. Then Holy Father said there's a second group. It says it's really represented by the Sanhedrin. These are people, in my own words, that based on the Holy Father, people filled with arrogance and their own knowledge. Philosophy, theology, doctrines, whatever that may have. Arrogance, their own knowledge, where they think that they know, but they don't. So the Sanhedrin, the ones who knew the scripture, the Pentateuch, they should have had a greater insight and see that that was Christ there. And the Holy Father says, ironically, this is the Sanhedrin, they use the Book of Wisdom, saying this can't be the Son of God. But he said, ironically, without realizing it, the mockers thereby acknowledged that Jesus is truly the one whom the Book of Wisdom speaks. And then the third group, represented by Malchus, the bad thief, died next to our Lord on the cross. And that's a mocker, who's someone whose heart has been deadened to recognize Christ because of years of sin. They're not praying, they're not going to church. Confession, that's a further thing from their mind. Three different groups. But praise be to God. Praise be to God. When Jesus is on the cross, he's praying for all these different groups. He's praying for all of us. And he's saying, Father, forgive them. So he's asking for mercy for us, the Father. And second, he makes excuse for us. Father, they don't know what they're doing. They're in ignorance. They're in ignorance. They don't recognize the truth of what's going on and who I am and our great love for them. Now, Jesus Christ, he knows no hatred or revenge. He's interceding, pleading on our behalf. St. Peter, when Pentecost would come in Acts chapter 3, he tells the people, you know, you crucified the chosen one, the Holy One of God. But then he adds this, now know, brethren, that you acted in ignorance as did your rulers. And St. Paul, too, he refers to that ignorance in 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. But I received mercy, he says, because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. So all of us, to a certain degree, we have ignorance, right? We don't recognize God's presence in our lives, working through other people, ways he's speaking to us. Ignorance, times we forget his great love. Now, is that an excuse? But the Holy Father says, no, ignorance diminishes the guilt, but it leaves open the path to conversion. But it does not simply excuse, because at the same time, it reveals a deadening of the heart that resists the call of truth. So what's the solution? Since St. Dismas, what he does, he recognizes Jesus in his passion and death, meditating, looking upon the crucifix, meditating on the passion of Christ, leads to the shedding of many of the ignorances that we may be living in. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to St. Faustina, says this countless a number of times in the diary. A couple of examples. Paragraph 1512, my daughter, meditate frequently on the sufferings which I have undergone for your sake. And then nothing of what you suffer for me will seem great to you. A lot of times people are going through suffering, they lose their job, they lose that, they may lose their faith with that. Father says, if you're meditating on my passion, you come to a greater knowledge, you recognize that I'm hidden in your suffering, And he says, you please me most when you meditate on my sorrowful passion. Another example, paragraph 369. Our Lord says, there is more merit to 1 hour of meditation on my sorrowful passion than a whole year of severe penances. Meditating on his passion, it helps us to have a greater awareness of God's love for us, a greater awareness that suffering is redemptive. It helps us to carry our crosses and difficulties because we realize, well, what I have is nothing compared to what our Lord suffered. Another example, paragraph 1572. I remind you, my daughter, that as often as you hear the clock strike the third hour, immerse yourself completely in my mercy, adoring and glorifying. At that hour, invoke mercy for sinners. In that hour, meditate. Even if it's briefly, he said, because of your duties of state, stop for a moment and just think of my passion and death. There's great power when we pray this, the Station of the Cross. There's great power when we meditate on the Lord's passion by praying the Chaplet of Thy Mercy. There's great power when we pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. There's great power. And that's what Holy Mother Church, that's what the Church is doing throughout the whole globe today. All stopping for a moment in the afternoon. We're meditating on this great act of redemption, Christ's suffering for you and for me. That there's hope even for the greatest of sinners. Whether a person's self-conceited, whether a person's heart than sin, whether sin's a person mocking the gift of life, there's mercy and there's hope for all of us. But like St. Dismas, we have to recognize Jesus that, okay, we look to the cross, we see his suffering. And think about the great act of faith that he displayed. He didn't see Christ working his miracles. He didn't see fancy things. He saw Christ in his suffering and professed faith. Whoa. So today, as we prepare to venerate the cross, we'll come up in a few moments, and ask if the Lord's blessed with the good knees, that you genuflect. And then you can kiss the cross either at the bottom or the corpus or the hands or the feet or the side. And just thank Jesus. Extend your hand. You could go like this or put your very lips to the cross. Thank Jesus for suffering for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.